Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. It is a pleasure to be with you in your home, on your listening device, on this evening, on this Juneteenth. Amen. We're going to talk about Juneteenth for a little bit in just a moment, but it is a blessing to be with you on a yet another Monday here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Well, God bless you. I hope your day has been well with you. I hope you have, if you had to work, you was able to work well, and that all went well, and you returned home all in one piece and one accord, one right frame of mind. Amen. All of that, all the goodness. Amen. And if you're frustrated or a little aggravated, hopefully by the end of this program today, you'll be able to let go of all that frustration and be prepared to meet tomorrow and the rest of the week. Well, we're here today just to celebrate life itself. I give honor to God, who's the head of my life. I thank God my name made the woke list one more time. Amen, amen. That's right, my name made the woke list. You may be listening to this on demand, but I am live talking now. Amen. And so this is not a recording. Amen. I am a genuine Amen. Live article. Amen. I hear you, Sister Ruth. Amen. Somebody else name made the woke list then. Amen. God bless you. And so we are glad yeah, to man. Be here in the land of the living. There is Mr. Wolfman himself. None other than
Amen.
And there he is, as we would say, the captain of the ship. Amen. A.K.A. Mr. Six Eyes, Charles Sanford himself. Amen. God bless y'all, people of God. Amen.
And Emily's on tonight, too.
Amen. I saw her number on the program, Miss Emily. God bless her. Amen. Amen. And to those that will be joining us a little bit later, we just want to say thank you for tuning in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday. It is our desire to motivate you, to encourage you. Amen. I purpose this program to focus on life application. Because many times people read the Bible, but sometimes they don't know how to apply certain scriptures to their lives, or understanding the importance of certain scriptures and the magnitude that it may have in their life or can have in their life when they apply it. And so hopefully, again, this program today will bring some enlightenment, some encouragement, and some uplifting to your spirit. Well, once again, well, the crew has already spoken. Amen. How's everybody doing today? We want to check on everybody mental. How you doing? How's your mental?
I'm a 10.
Oh, yes, that's our first 10 for the night. Amen.
And I got a praise report to give you guys that you want to run around the block.
Okay, well, I need some running right now. I'm ready. I don't know about anybody else. I'm ready to hear Sister Ruth.
I had 6 pain injections in Cleveland Clinic on Friday, and now it's starting to get better, but everything is coming from my back, so I'm just going to keep praising the Lord. I believe he can handle it, so I'm just going about my life and praising
Amen.
His name.
Amen. That's what we call getting better every day. Amen. I like that. Amen. Amen.
Hey, Daddy, I'm beyond the 10.
That's our overachiever, Sister Emily. Come on. That's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Well, I also have a praise report.
We listen.
I got
a
call from the funeral home that cremated my stepdad.
Uh-huh.
They are going next Thursday to bury all the ones that were done by a city contingency.
Okay.
And they are coming here, picking me up, going out, getting Mom so she can be there for the burial of Dad's remains.
All right. That's good. That is good. That's good news. That's good
news. Praise God. That's so comforting. Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah, that's that closure. Amen. So we thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for that closure.
And on top of it, I got a call from the doctor that did my bone marrow transplant.
Uh-huh.
And the nurse was here Thursday of last week, did a blood count and everything, and was checking for the bone marrow, how it was doing. They said everything has taken and I shouldn't have any more problems.
Amen. That's good news. That's good news. Well, I go tomorrow to see about what they have to do with my arm and everything. So I'm looking for some good news on tomorrow. Your prayers are definitely needed. So continue just to keep me in your prayers, that God will just continue to work this season out for my better. Amen. But I'm feeling good about it. Amen. The pain is what it is. But I've been able just to be able to endure the pain, and I thank God for I'm still here, I'm still active, I'm thankful. Brother Six, you're back on. So sorry I dropped you off, but you're back open. How you doing this evening?
Thank you, sir. I'm doing good. Mental is good. I'm here just to enjoy the show as always. Mental is good. I guess I'll be a 10.
All right. Well, I'm definitely up there with you all. I would say a 9.5. Because I've had days where I just felt better. Prior to the show, the hour before the show, my sister called me. And so that got me to sit on up. And as I was just making ready for it, I was just feeling a little drained, just physically. But after hearing you all's voice and everything, I'm just feeling better and better. That's why I believe the Lord says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Amen. Because I think we draw strength from one another. Just hearing y'all voices, amen, and making me feel better, amen. So it may feel a little tiresome to my body to sit up straight like I'm sitting right now, but I'm thankful that I am able to sit up, amen. So it is what it is. All those muscles, they gotta regain their strength and their composure. So it's part of the process. So I'm thankful that I'm alive to go through it. So, amen. Amen. Got to cut.
Amen.
There it is.
My mental is a 10 plus.
All right. That's another 10 plus. All right, Queen. Come on. I like that. 10 plus. See, all of y'all doing good.
I'm getting things one day at a time.
Amen, amen. I know we're going to have a wonderful show now. Everybody's feeling so well. Missionary Ken, did we hear from you?
No, but my mental's doing somewhere around about 1,000. And Pastor Bonnet, you must be a house because you said you had pains, so that means you got window panes, and you said you felt drained, so you got drained, so you must be a house.
Yeah, well, you know, I believe I am a house. You know, the Bible says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it is a building, and most buildings have roof, and most buildings have pipes and drainage where it brings in water and release water. So, yeah, I take that. Amen. Amen. Once again, you're tuned to the 6-9 Motivational Monday. You're truly Pastor Kenneth Bonnet and the crew. Amen. From the 6-9 Radio Network. We're here this evening. This is June 10th. This is a national holiday now. President Biden signed into law as federal.
Sir, excuse me for 1 minute.
Yeah, 2021.
1 minute. We're having an echo issue right now. If you are not speaking, put yourselves on mute so everyone around the world can enjoy the show. Take yourselves off mute once the pastor asks a question. We want everybody to enjoy the show. We want everybody to receive the message and hear the message without interruption. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Fix. Appreciate that. I want to make sure I'm coming through clear my system. Checking my volumes here. And all right. Well, that took care of that echo. Amen. Sometimes some of these phones will have some type of feedback loop in them. So why it happens all from time to time, we're not 100% sure. But thank you for your cooperation. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, whether you're Samsung, Android, Apple, Windows, or on a hard line, sometimes you just never know. All I know is they man-made, and anything man-made can have hang-ups and hiccups and so on. So, once again, this is June 10th. And let me go to my notes here. June 10th is one of those holidays that are fairly new. It is a holiday that's directed towards the African-American community, per se, that has been made a national holiday. Many African-Americans are just really coming into the understanding of what Juneteenth is. Somebody said it similar to this, and I'm not necessarily trying to quote them, but they said it to this effect. the United States of America have its Independence Day, which we celebrate, which is the 4th of July. And for African Americans or those black Americans, color Americans, African Americans, our independence or our liberty is in June 19th. And so this celebration is something that goes all the way back to our Emancipation Proclamation. You'd be surprised, as much as we have studied in black history during the month of February, we don't do too much talking about the emancipation and things surrounding that. But this holiday is a holiday just to celebrate the African-American community as a whole and in their true liberty as Americans in this country, because for the longest, from the early 16th century all the way through the 19th century, which was about roughly around 1860-something, where the Atlantic slave trade was taking our people from way across the water all the way over here and being stolen, being sold, being taken, being brutally mistreated for so long. We were considered as property. We wasn't considered as human beings. We didn't have rights. And so we went from being slaves to laborers. And so this is something for us to take pride around and to celebrate and to build upon one another, because today in 2023, many of us are doing things that our grandparents or great-grandparents only dreamed to do. We have homes and businesses that they could only dream to aspire to have. We're living in better conditions. We have better resources. And so we have something to hold our head up high for, not one of pride and self-pride, but one in. And so I just want to give you just a little bit background on this Juneteenth celebration. It was organized in Galveston. Juneteenth has been since observed annually. Let me enlarge this print up. There we go. Observed annually in various parts of the United States, often broad celebration African American culture. The day was recognized as a federal holiday in 2021, when President Joe Biden signed Juneteenth as a National Independence Day Act in law. Juneteenth has been a federal holiday for 2 years now. The holiday recognized the day in 1865 when enslaved African Americans in Texas learned they were free, following the Emancipation Proclamation 2 years earlier. But about half of the states in the nation have not made Juneteenth a official state holiday, according to Congress Research Services. Efforts to change that are ongoing. Minnesota State President Bobby Joe Champion sponsored a bill signing it into law this year, making Juneteenth a state holiday, meaning state workers get a paid day off. He knows that there's a cost, but the benefit outweigh the cost, right? He said, you know that productivity is increased when people feel good about their workplace. So They are the ongoing change to make things a better working place, better working conditions, so on. And he hold country with private companies, will follow suit. The holiday is an opportunity to celebrate and educate and explain Michigan State Representative Harold Scott, whose June 10th measure was passed last week. The Union Army and Navy embellishing the laborers to become laborers. By the end of the war, So that was just last week. All right. So after Martin Luther King Day was recognized as a federal government in 1983, it took 17 years for it to become a official holiday in all 50 states. So it's progress. President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1st, 1863. The National approached this third year of bloody civil war. The proclamation declared person held as slave was in the rebellion state are henceforth shall be free. And that's what the emancipation done. It freed us in some states who was already free, but that proclamation declared that all slaves would be made free. And this during the Civil War time. And we know we got into real black history and started talking about that. Even though we was free, it still took another 100 years to put certain things into law to actually truly give us that liberty. And ergo, when we began to see the different movement by Dr. Martin Luther King and others and the civil rights movement, to just really give us that freedom as that proclamation have declared, so many things have happened. So, but we saw a nation starting to come together, blacks and whites working together, the racial walls of discrimination just simply by color. We see all of that coming down. Are we in a nation that we still have that? Yes. But we are making it better day by day. And so we as born-again believers, black, white, red, yellow, we are to be the forerunners of programs that brings equality and speak that liberty and not judging a person by the contents of their skin. Amen. And we can go a whole lot more into that, but that's enough of that for right now. Amen. Did anybody here that's on the radio today, have there been any Juneteenth events in your area? If so, if you want to discuss it or share with what they did, what took place?
I know that there were events, but I did not personally attend any of them, but the people who did that told me about it say they really enjoyed themselves. So far as I know, there were no real incidents. Everything went off great. People enjoyed. They had food and everything. So that was a good thing.
Definitely. That's good. That's good. Saturday... This past Saturday, my brother is pastoring two churches, which is Greater Somerville and Redemption for Life, which I assist him in doing those things. We joined up with a Baptist church within the community here in the city that's down the street from our church. And for the past over the past year, we have been working with them to do things within the community. And so this year we had a joint Juneteenth celebration in one of the parks here, which is called Alderman Park. Overton. Overton Park, which is a national park here in Memphis. It's where our zoo is. It's where we have music programs and stuff going on. Got a national golf course there, a nine-hole golf course there that people love to come to and walk that course. So we were there in the park. Has an area where a lot of people come, a lot of dog owners come and allow their dogs to run through the trail, have a nice, you know, back trail, all kind of stuff to it. So we just had a event there where we just had the bounces out for the youth and just some good music and just came together as a community to eat some good barbecue food, talk. I had the privilege of giving one particular message. I may share that as we go forward today. But we had a good time. It was very good. We were able to meet a lot of people and to witness the name of Jesus Christ as well while we're having a good time. So it was a very successful event. So, there was other groups throughout our city that were doing things. FedEx had their Juneteenth that Friday. They had a program where they was doing it here in the city. And so many other people, and some had their events today. So many people were doing many different things. So I'm glad that it's taking a good root, I guess you could say, and it's starting to grow pretty good because I really didn't know about it until I truly found out about it more last year. But I didn't even realize that we was celebrating the African American culture and its liberty, and so I just made it part of my, you know, me and the family. We just try to make sure we share what information we know and just continue on. So I'm glad it's having a good move. I think anything that can bring peace to our communities and bring people together, I consider that something that can be used for good, to build, and especially if we can bring the gospel of Jesus Christ within it. I know for sure it helps to make our country a better place. All right. Any questions about Juneteenth or any comments about Juneteenth before I move on in tonight's lesson?
I think it's great, Juneteenth. Finally got something we can be proud of. But just like anything, you can be physically free from bondage with chains on your hands and your legs and feet and however we were held bondage. But if you are mentally still in bondage, it's not going to make a difference. So we must first free ourselves mentally from bondage, and then you'll have a better outcome. Because if your hands are free and your feet are free, and yet your mind is still enslaved by your thinking, your thought process, your mindset, it's not going to matter. So that's my take on it. And I pray that this is a continual and not just something that they just throw away, you know. So yeah. If you're going to keep it up, and have the same pride, the holiday didn't exist, but even more so that it does exist. I'm complete.
Amen. I think this is one of those things that where follow-through must be a continual thing. And just like kinetic energy, the more it keeps moving, the more it will move. And so we just have to keep it moving forward, you know. Missionary Six, you were saying something?
Yeah, I had something to say there. I was just going to weigh in on what Six was saying. Basically, if you really think about it, slavery is not just with bondage. Slavery could be in the mind. Slavery could be emotionally. It could be physically. I mean, when you think about it, yeah, you could see a king who rules over his subjects, and he could do it with an iron fist and thus turn his people into slaves. But then there's kings who, as you even see in the Bible, kings that ruled their people but did not rule them as slaves. So, I mean, slavery could be either way, and you can emotionally do it, and it goes all across the board. It's not just blacks to not whites to blacks, but it could be blacks to white. It could be Chinese to Russian. It could be Russian to Italian, whatever. Slavery could be anybody to everybody. It could be emotional. It could be physical, what have you. And when you think about it, according to the Bible, it's all sin. We need to put ourselves back to the original and think that we all came from the same father, the same mother, Adam and Eve, and go ask any blood bank. They'll tell you it all comes out the same color. No matter how you slice it, that's the way it is. I mean, there ain't different colors of blood, not unless you're from a different planet, which I doubt that God created other planets with other beings. I mean, there's only one, so that means we all come from the same color blood. According to Acts chapter 17, we're all of one blood, and that's red blood because we came from Adam and Eve, and that's the way it is, and I'm complete.
All right. Well, well put, well said. I like it like this, and I can't say it. It can't be said no better than this. It's written in the Word, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so once you've been set free, there's another scripture that says, be ye not entangled again into the yoke of bondage. That means that which bound you up and kept you from liberty, don't entangle yourself with those things again, but stay free. So being free, choice, that one must make for themselves. Once you're free, and therefore when we go into prison ministry, one of the things that we've said in our program, when you get free, staying free is a choice that must be made daily. That means it doesn't take but a single act to cause you to lose your freedom. And that goes to anybody. But once you have, you must cherish that freedom, and you must allow that freedom to grow in your circle so that others will be free too. And we can go on and on in that. That's a whole topic by itself, because when we start talking about that, we can deal with the spirit of low self-esteem and oppression or depression. And we can deal with that because that's one of those things where that captivity really takes place more so in the mind, because if we don't know how to exercise truly the art of forgiveness, then certain things can happen to us, and we will replay it over and over in our mind, and it will contain us in that box. And so instead of us being free to do other things, we're trapped by the words that we are resounding in our head. They said I ain't this. They said that. And you are constantly repeating things of negative about yourself. That person who said it against you may have said it. They may have said it one time or two times, but they are gone. They are out your presence, and their words are echoing in your head because we haven't learned the art of letting go. Anything that binds us away from the true word of God, you know, in the old West, when they for automobiles, people traveled on horses or donkeys, and when they went to town, they had to tie their animal off so that the animal just don't wander. And so sometimes we have to learn how to anchor our mind in the word of God so we don't wander. I got a message called Don't Drift Away. It's telling you letting your mind drift away, because if you're not careful, and you allow your mind just to wander freely without true purpose, you'll find yourself way away from the truth of God that he has said concerning your life. And so we must be careful. But let me get back, because I am a talker. I will talk about any subject I start talking about. So let me get back on task. Amen. Let me get back on task here. So, all right. Is this my? Let me do this way. There, I lost my place here. Romans chapter 8. Today I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. You're more than welcome to read from the King James or whatever version you have, Study Bible. I'm just reading from it because it just read in a way, if a person is just talking, I do less explaining. So Romans chapter 8 starts off with life in the spirit. One of the things about commitment is making a decision to stick and stay somewhere or with something. Commitment, you know, when you go and get employment and they hire you and they have you on the schedule 5 days a week. Well, you don't work 3 days a week and call yourself committed. No, you work 5 days. You work your full schedule. That is true commitment. You don't say, well, I did come. You know, it's not a sense of entitlement. But commitment is obligation. It is showing your true support to seeing something through. When we look at the word of God, when we see John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's a statement. That's a statement of love. But what demonstrated his love? Where is the commitment of God's love? We see the statement, for God so loved the world. Matter of fact, let me turn that real quick. John 3:16. And so, in the New Living, it says like this, for this is how God loved the world, he gave. So if you say you love something, there must be a follow-through by action. If you say you're going to do work, there must be a follow-through by action. So anybody that says they're committed and there's no follow-through by action, then they are not truly committed. Because commitment deals with follow-through. Am I making sense? Amen, preacher. Just in case y'all ain't going to say nothing, I just have to bring my own amen. So for this is how God loved the world. He gave one and only son.
Yeah.
He just give a son because he had several of them lined up. But his love commitment to you and I, while we was unworthy now, and even though that we've been redeemed, I find it hard to really say whether we still are or are not unworthy. Because when we look and examine, let me speak from my standpoint there. Because I don't want nobody to think I'm talking about you. When Kenneth look at his life and the decisions that he's made, I can honestly say I was unworthy of God's love to dedicate his life to sacrifice for mine. And since I've given my life over to God, I can still say I'm unworthy for him to give his holy life for mine. But yet, his patience of love look beyond my faults and saw my need. He saw that Kenneth could not redeem himself back to God no kind of way. So he was committed to the death on the cross just so I can say I am redeemed. He did it for me. Now, so when I look at John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world, I have to say, for this is how God loved Kenneth, that he gave his one and only son, so that anyone besides Kenneth, who believe in him, will not perish but have everlasting life. King James says, should not, which make this conditional. Should not means you have an option. Because after hearing the gospel, you still have to choose the gospel. Even if you believe what you heard, you still have to go afterwards. You have to commit to him. Two. And that's the challenge. To be committed to God. To commit to him. That means there's an action afterwards. I don't be a sinner doing things that are displeasing God, hear the word of God, believe the word of God, and ask for him to come in my life, but keep on doing the same thing that I was doing that I know that I'm displeasing to him. That is not commitment. That means I'm not committed. I'm not serious about the statement that I made. So I must be committed to it. He's committed. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. He didn't come to condemn us because we was already condemned. So he didn't have to bring condemnation. That was already done. That was done when Adam took part in what Eve did. Now, since this was just Father's Day, I just want to bring back some highlights. The commandment was given to Adam. It wasn't given to Eve. It was given to Adam. It was Adam's job to maintain the commandment that God gave him. So when you look at Genesis chapter 3 there, and you see Eve, when she looked at the fruit and thought it was one to make one wise, nothing happened. She went and picked up the fruit, nothing happened. She bit the fruit, nothing happened. She chewed the fruit, nothing happened. She swallowed the fruit, nothing happened. She did all of that, and nothing happened. There was no action taking place. But then she took the fruit, and she turned and gave to her husband, Adam. And when she gave it to him and he bit it, then something happened. Then the veil was lifted. Then they knew something that they didn't know before. Then the act of, because God gave Adam the authority, and that's why it's so important for men to maintain that foundation of the home. No matter what nobody else does in the home, you must maintain that which God has told you. Because that's when the change will come. That's when things changes. And I know sometimes the woman is saving many homes long before the husband. In cases where there was marriage took place before our salvation took place. But even then, God is a God of order. And in God's eyes, she can be saved, but he's still her head. He never circumvents the authority which he put in because he's committed. He's committed to following all of his own standards. And so because he's committed, that's why we can stand on the word. That's why we can stand on biblical principles, because we see God to be honorable in all cases. We don't see no wavering. And because we don't see any wavering, we have to take him at his word. Now, let's go back to Romans before we go somewhere else. Romans chapter 8. King James says, therefore, now there is no condemnation. The New Living says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. To those who belong to Jesus Christ. Let me put parallel. I want to put King James side by side with this because I want to read both back and forth. Amen. King James said, and one of the things that I had the benefit of doing this past week part was this part of the text says, there is no condemnation to them which are in, and the emphasis here, are in Christ Jesus. And so my message took a direction of, who are you in? What are you in? A lot of times we are into different things. When you're into sports, you're excited about it. You know, if you're into baseball, man, you know all the names of the different type gloves, you know the different types of balls, you know the manufacturers of different types of bats. You may even know the weight size of different type of bats because you're in it. But when you're not in it, you know, you're like, okay, that's a bat. No, I need a real bat. And they say, this is a real bat. And they said, man, that's a wood bat. I need an aluminum bat, man. Give me a bat, man. And so all of those things make a difference. And so when people are not in Christ, tell you how to live saved, they don't know the difference. They don't know what the difference is between holy and unholy because they're not in Christ. And so our commitment to God is first being in him. And when we're in him, we're learning about him. And so, because to learn about him is not being in him, being condemned about everything that you do or don't do. Amen, somebody. You're going to make mistakes as born-again Christians. You're going to do some things that are ungodly. But when the Holy Spirit tells you that's not of God, then you that are in Christ, that's in God, you're going to refrain. You're going to change. You're going to modify your deeds. Why? Because you know that's not in him. I play golf. We enjoy golf. And if we're playing golf and we haven't established before the game that you were going to have two or three mulligans, we're going to count every stroke that you make towards the ball. And if you get in the sand pit and your club touch the sand before you hit the ball, we're going to count that as a stroke. You say, well, I had to see you. No, because if you in this game, you know the rules of the game. And so in God, there are certain rules. There are certain things that take place because that's part of being in it. When you are in church, you know what you – I seen this years ago, and I was shocked. And some communities do it now. But I was shocked when I first saw it because I grew up, we were very strict. The sanctuary was a place that we had to respect and give highest honor. So we didn't eat in the sanctuary. If you wasn't a newborn baby being nursed, you wasn't eating or drinking in the sanctuary. Apart from some water in the pulpit for the minister, there was no eating in the sanctuary. We couldn't even chew bubble gum in the sanctuary. And so when I saw people coming, watching one program and people was in there in the program drinking coffee and what have you, I'm like, man, they think they had the movies? They ain't on the worship. They gone for a show. It's a different mindset. Now, I ain't condemning them because if that organization says it's okay for them to do it, then, hey, who am I to stop them from doing what they allow? But all I know is because of the relationship that I've had in God, we didn't do that. We didn't do that. We didn't eat in the church at all. In the sanctuary, rather, excuse me. We didn't eat in the sanctuary. There was a section for eating. In other words, there was a place for that. Amen. There was a place because the sanctuary itself was in our hearts, in our mind, made as a place of holiness, a place to be sacred for the reaching and the receiving of God's and God's anointing. And so we didn't do all of that. But again, folks, I found it real strange. Once I became an adult, you know, if I saw a man with shorts in church, I'm like, huh, what's that? Because I know that everybody didn't grow up with the same honor, the same recognition, the same respect. So it took my mind to understand, well, that's their relationship. They haven't learned. But what we see nowadays, What we don't see in a lot of churches today, we don't see a lot of healing. Mm-hmm. We don't see a lot of praying for those in wheelchairs and sickness. We don't see a lot of that no more. They haven't learned to honor the presence of God. So, and then they haven't been taught. So I can't be mad at the congregation if they ain't taught. I can't be. All I can do is, from my standpoint, make sure those in the circle that I walk, that we teach truth according to the ways of God, and we teach them to honor God in all things, and how to be in God, and what it really means to be in God. Because to be in God is not just going to church. Many people believe, well, I went to church Sunday, shoot. And that's that. They don't think beyond that in giving their life as a service unto God, because they haven't took the scripture where it says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. They haven't read later, a couple chapters later, where we see he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Now let me get back to the text. So he says there, King James Version, therefore, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not. Uh-oh. See, he deals with the action. So if you in God, you know, you say, I love God. Okay? You love God? What do your walk look like? You know, if I ask Ken, do you love Ruth? Man, Ruth going to be say, yeah, he loved me. Shoot, he put a ring on my finger. We've been together this long, and he'll draw my bath every now and then. He don't forget my birthday. He massaged my feet every now and then. She'll begin to name the things that the love does. Amen, somebody. And vice versa. Glory to God. And so when we say we love God, is the only thing we can say, I love God, because I go to church. Then you go to church. Well, I go to church every Sunday. So my question would be, if you had a spouse that said they love you, but they only came to see you 1 hour, one day out of each week, honestly tell me, that's commitment. That's love. Food for thought. Let me keep on moving. Let me keep on moving. Move on, preacher. Leave the people alone. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, we must go after the Spirit of God. Our love that will keep us away from condemnation must be that that's going after God's Spirit. Because when I'm going after the things of God and how would God do it, to go, we had the wristband that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? But they stopped wearing them. They stopped talking about it because people started saying, "You for real, Jesus will do that? You know what I mean? You cussing me out. You mean to tell me Jesus will cuss me out? Hey, man, look, you putting your hands on me. You mean to tell me Jesus will put his hands on me, jack me up, because he disagreed with me? And so we don't see that movement no more a whole lot, because it charged people to their action, to be mindful of their action. But I learned this, that when you're in something, you're part of something. And when you're part of something, that whole part of it, see, when I'm on a team, I'm in that team, I'm not by myself. And so one of the things about football is you may be given the ball, but there's two or three blockers that's trying to open up a pathway so that you can score. You're not by yourself. And so when I understand that when I'm in Christ, I'm not by myself because he's blocking the enemy so that I can score. He's opening up doors so I can make a way through. Things are transforming for my life because I'm in him. I love the old commercial, Gatorade commercial. It asks the simple question, is it in you? Amen. Because they were saying when Gatorade was in them, no matter what sport it was, they was playing. They had the strength, the endurance to finish, to accomplish what they were trying to do. So it was in them. And so, are we in Christ? That's the question, because commitment is being in it, is being about it. It's not talking about it, but it's being about it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. New Living says, and because you belong to him, power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because it was weak because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do, his commitment. God saw that we were still going to be needing. And so God did what we could not do. He did because our sinful nature could not do this. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in the body, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin controlling over us by giving us his son and as a sacrifice for our sin. He did this so that the just requirement of the law will be fully satisfied for us. What was the qualification? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we who no longer follow our sinful nature, but follow the Spirit, committed to being in Christ and following his Spirit. Nowadays in the media world, everybody's asking you, follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, follow me on here, follow me there. And people that are into that, we're following this person, following that person, following that. But how many of us are really following the law of God, the word of God? How many of us are really into following what God has said so that we may have a better life ourselves? And it's just food for thought. Just food for thought. Amen. So, my question tonight is, what are you into? Who are you into? Are you into God? Are you into the Word of God? Where's the commitment to being a part of the things of God? We must be committed. He showed his commitment first. God did not tell us to be committed, and he himself wasn't committed already. The blessing that God has bestowed before all of us is that his love superseded all of our issues. And he did what was needed because he was committed to making sure we had a pathway to be reunited back to him. And so that's the blessing that all of us have. And that's why we must continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important for us to share Jesus. And that's why we can't say, well, I don't know enough. Because to tell the good news of Jesus is to simply know his death, burial, and resurrection. You don't have to really know how to quote 1,000 scriptures. But if you can manage to open up a Bible and begin to read a few pages with somebody, even if you don't know where to start, start there in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Pick one. And read it with somebody. And matter of fact, after you read it, ask them, say, man, what do that mean to you? How do you feel about that? Give them an opportunity to express what they read and how much it meant. Because if I read for you Romans chapter 8, verse 8, I'm going to go 8 and 8. And I read it from the King James. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, period. And I ask for my, what do that really mean to you? They may ask me, well, what do it mean to be in the flesh? That's, to be in the flesh is to think naturally in my natural mind. So, but maybe I'm not skilled enough to answer that. So I would just pick up another translation and say, well, let's read it. New Living says, that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature. Oh, so the flesh is sinful nature. Wow, now I got to understand it. So, verse again, New Living Translation, verse 8, why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Wow, that makes a whole, so you mean to tell me if I'm not allowing God's Spirit to lead my life, there's no way I can be pleasing to God. That's what this text says. Then it goes on and says, because we see that conjunction, but, so that gets my attention, you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Who are you talking about? We have to go all the way back to the beginning. He's talking to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So he's talking to those that are walking after the Spirit. He says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature, controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, that's how we're controlled by the Spirit. So that's why it's important to have the Holy Spirit. So that's one of the functions of the Holy Spirit, is so that I don't live by sinful nature. Why? Because I still have my body. And depending on how far in sin I lived my life, my body had to sin. You know, one of the things Steve Harvey said as a comedian, when people found out that he surrendered his life to God and became a Christian, he said, y'all be patient with me because God ain't finished working on me. He said, all my life I've been cussing. So I have to work on that. And he was telling, letting you know that his body, his nature has been conditioned to just doing that. And so now, under the new nature, he has to learn, that's called reconditioning. Reconditioning, that's something that you're going to hear me talk about over the next couple of weeks as I go through the process of this surgery and everything. Because I ripped my muscles. So they have to be reconditioned now. You know, as much as I know how to use my left hand, because I'm left-handed, that's my dominant hand. There's a lot of things that I want to do I can't do no more. So now I have to go under reconditioning. And so a lot of times, us, when we surrender our life to God, we have to really allow God to recondition what we knew to do, because we knew to do a lot of stuff. But in learning to be pleasing to him, and that's the whole thing. Verse 8 dealt with pleasing him. He said, if still under the control of my sinful nature, I can never please God. And if I love God, I should want to please God. Do that make sense to anybody? A woman that loves a man, she's doing all she can to please that man. Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Why? Because your love make you want to be pleasing to that person. Amen. A man that really loves a woman, he's doing everything he can to take care of her. Why? Because his love has a demand on his response. Verse 9 said, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. That word if is conditional. So you must have the Holy Spirit so that you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Now, here's where we can mess up. If you justify any of your nature before God and don't see it as sinful nature, then you are bypassed this scripture because you have a self-righteous spirit within you. When I wasn't that bad, surely God didn't hate everything I did, you know, and you start to try to justify previous deeds. And the truth of the matter is, good deeds in the body doesn't make you one with God. It is when you accept what God has given, that's his son, Jesus Christ. When you go that way, he gives you how to continue those good deeds that justifies him or verifies him or proves him, that bring glory to him. Because we was created to make his name glorious. We are created for the glory of God. Man, I'm going to say it again. That's why it's important for us as foundations to line up with the Word of God, because we men, the male creature, the male species of the human race, was created to bring glory to God. God gave us a helpmate called woman to bring glory to us. And so just like you wouldn't want, talking to the men, you wouldn't want your wife, you don't mind your wife giving praise to anybody. But when they begin to praise anybody more than they give praise to you, then there's the problem. Because no one should get more praise in her eyes outside of God than you. And that's how God feels about us. We get excited at the baseball game. We get excited at the football game. We get excited on the television. We get excited on this. We get so many things that brings our excitement. But then we go to church and we sit there. We don't say hallelujah, glory. We don't praise God. We don't shout. We don't do none of those things to bring glory to God's name. And we think he's not jealous. In fact, we provoke his jealousy because we elevate everything above him. But in spite of all that, here's his commitment. He knew, without a doubt, many of us going to do it. You know we're going to do it, and we're going to do it more times over. But yet his commitment was he gave his only son, period, so we can be redeemed. His love saw beyond our issues, period. I got good time. Let me read the rest of this there. So, verse 9, reading from the New Living, again says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Verse 10. And Christ lives in you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Verse 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living in you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Ooh, I feel like slapping somebody at that anger trying to grow up in you. Ooh, I think I need to tell them a piece of my mind. That nature that tells you to be mean and ugly towards people. He's saying, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urge. In other words, your nature may urge you to do some stuff, but you're not obligated. Your commitment don't lie in your sinful flesh. Your commitment lies within the spirit man within you that is connected to the Spirit of God dwelling within your being. That's what you're committed to. That's whom you're committed to, excuse me. The Spirit of God living in you. For if you live by its decree, let me go back. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its decree, you would die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deed of your sinful nature, you put it to death. In other words, you tell yourself no. You tell yourself to behave. You tell yourself, we're going to honor God. We're going to obey the word of God. Power of the Spirit, you put to death the deed of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So you have not to receive a so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. We were talking about slaves earlier. God didn't give us a spirit to be fearful slaves. That means someone don't have a choice. A slave don't have the choice. They have to follow what the master has said. They don't have a choice. You don't have that spirit. Instead, you receive God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. When God made you his child, because you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you received the spirit of adoption. So the spirit, when he adopted you as his own child, now we call him Abba, Father. And we read Sunday where he said, when we pray Abba, Father. That's God, because God is our true source. He's our true provider. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And that's the other reason why you have the Holy Spirit, so that you know that you belong to God. So when people are talking ugly to you, down on you, bad about you, you already know that the Holy Spirit in you is telling you, man, you belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are part of the royal family. So what they're saying is nonsense. You don't receive that to condemnation, to bring you down. And since we are children of God, since we are his children, we are his heirs. In sight together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Amen. So we can't just say we're Christians when it's convenient. You know, we have to stand up and be Christians when everybody else saying, I don't understand these Christian folks. Why are they against the LGBTQ community? We're not against the people. We're against the message. We're against the deeds. Because, after all, they are still people of the world. And God so loved the world that he gave his son. So whether you the L, the G, the B, the Q, or whatever the other letters I may miss, he loved you for who he made you. You're dealing with an identity crisis. You're dealing with desires of the flesh that are ungodly. And you don't have to be part of that community to be dealing with desires of sex, because you have pedophiles out there. You got molesters out there, rapists out there, and so many other things out there that's still immoral, that's wrong. All of these things comes against the purpose of God for our lives. So we stand with God because standing with him is reigning with him. But just as Christ suffered, so must we. And for the saving of time, I'm going to try to jump down to that 31st verse. And this is for everybody. For those of us that have messed up more than one, God is not a God of a second chance. He's a God of another chance. He gives us the chances after chances to get right. Every day you wake up, it's another day to get right with God. And so 31 says, what shall we say about such wonderful things? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who declares cause? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right to stand with him. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was risen to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. We have to understand that wherever you are in your walk of life, Christ is there in our corner. He is petitioning for us. So this scripture, as I read it from the King James, we started out with, I am fully persuaded. Nothing should separate me from the love of God. So when we understand nothing is separating us from the love of God, nothing can separate us. By fact, let me just read it. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Question. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecution or hunger or dispute, danger, threatening, or death? As the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite of all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Jesus Christ. No matter what we go through in life, the love of God for us is going to prevail against anything that can come against us, trying to pull us away from him. So don't let nobody pull you away from God, because God's love is already there for you. He's committed. And so his love for us is a guarantee. It's a guarantee. It's absolute. So don't let people use your past mistakes and say that God can't love you because you messed up. You may have messed up in the eyes of man, but God saw it coming. And there's grace for you. Repent, ask God to forgive you, and know that he will. And get back in line. Fulfill the role that God is giving you to fulfill. Period. Amen. Now, all the lines are still open. Is there any questions concerning Romans chapter 8 today. There's so much more in Romans that I could have read, but, you know, if you teach Romans, you really probably have to teach it in like three parts, which can take about 2 or 3 hours each part. So diving into it like that. So are there any questions about God's commitment to us and what our commitment to him should be?
Not for me. Thank you very much. This was very enlightening, and I know I've read through this before, but I know when you review the word, you know, over and over, sometimes you get something different. And it just, what stood out to me was, you know, our commitment and how we should not allow others to pull us away, distract us, or share what they feel
should
believe. We have to understand the word for ourselves and know our commitment to Christ. So
Amen.
That's what I got, and I'm complete.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Anybody? Right. Well,
I don't exactly have a question, but I actually enjoyed everything you said. Since I've had the Lord for now, since June 20th, 1974, tomorrow is my spiritual birthday. My physical birthday isn't until July 10th, but my spiritual birthday, when Jesus came into my heart, it was June 20th, 1974, and I was only 14 years old. So I've lived a lot of years for Christ, but I have a long things I could still learn. When I get to heaven, I'm sure going to have a lot of changes because a very few people, I know you do because you're a minister, but very few people probably know what exactly we're going to do up there. And I'm sure it's going to be wonderful, whatever it is, because God knows what he's doing and he gets it all together. So I just can't wait till that happens. I got a feeling the rapture of the church is going to occur soon, but we don't know the date or time or anything. But, you know, I just loved what you had to say tonight.
Amen. Well, thank you so very much. I tell you, the Bible says, eyes haven't seen nor ear heard the good things that God has prepared. That word prepared is just what it is. It is something that's going to be needed or required for later. And so none of us have seen, no preacher, no prophet, no leader have seen all that God has in store for us. It's amazing how even if we read the scripture where certain things were being revealed, God told him to close the book. He said, that's enough. Don't give them no more. In other words, there's some things that when we enter into eternity, number one, the word eternity, although we can give a definition to it, but can you really fathom what eternity is? Time for us is everyone can gravitate to time because, you know, we know in the morning time we got this much time before the night time. You know, when you're young, you got this much time to go to school, get your education. When you're young, you got this much time to start, you know, having a family, having children. You get older, you know, you got this much more time to try to enjoy some grandchildren before other things, you know. And so time can have so many phases for us. But eternity is the existence of life without the measure of time.
Well, if I can...
That means That means once 10,000 times 10,000 years have passed, still be in its genesis. That's eternity. So we have no idea what it is to really live in eternity. All we can understand is in the now, God wants us to live this life and to enjoy it. And if we can manage to enjoy the life that God has given us now, all it's doing is just preparing us to walk across that threshold into eternity. Now, that's a good thing for us that go ahead, Buckley. I hear you.
Yeah, so with that being said, I mean, the common word in here is time. It's time, space and time. We operate here in space and time here on Earth. So right now while we live, we better get busy living because we got enough time dying. So just don't wake up, you know, existing, wake up living and take advantage of the day that God breathes breath into your lungs. You know, 1,460 minutes, that's all you got in a day, 8,760 hours in a year. So stop wasting it.
Amen.
You don't want to have no wood at your sitters.
Amen. Amen, because that's going to be something to realize, you know. Every now and then we have those moments where we're like, man, I done wasted all my time. And so let's not have that when it relates to accomplishing things that matter in the grand plan of God for humankind in time. So let's not miss our opportunities to add to God's kingdom. Let's not miss our time in becoming who God wants us to be in his kingdom. Let's just not miss the opportunities.
Yeah. You know, you gotta look at God as being a coach. Okay. And we're all players. Now, when he started benching us and keep us on the bench, we're gonna have a problem with it. So we better get in the game and do our part.
Coach.
You know.
Wow.
That's so true.
That's so true because everybody want to get in on the game. Amen. Especially if you're a real player. You don't want to just be sitting on the sideline. You want to be used. Amen. I like that. That's a good one too, Doc.
Thank you.
That's real good. Put me in the game, coach. Put me in the game, coach. That involves you learning your position. Amen. You must learn your position because, you know, if you're in basketball, if you're forward, you know, you can't be acting like the center. You know, or the guard, you got to play the position that's for you, and like many sports, oftentimes your primary position may be one thing, but you may be sent in the game to play a position. You have to know how to adapt and play that position. In other words, we have to really learn how to follow instructions. And our Bible, the Holy Bible, gives us that on how to live this life, how to enjoy this life, how to be team players. But I really like sharing Romans 8 because a lot of times people get that loaded bar feeling where they feel down in the dumps. And I tell them, look, therefore now there's no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. And he's like, huh? I mean, read the text. Take time. Just read it slowly. and allow what it means to give you aid, because sometimes we are worse enemies. We judge ourselves worse than even what God would do if he was judging us for condemnation. Sometimes we do an injustice to ourselves. And so we have to be careful of that. We don't want people judging us, but sometimes we judge ourselves very badly. If you made a mistake, if you done something that out of character, that was ungodly, that was you later found that you did it wrong, understand this. You are alive. So that means you have an opportunity to try to make it right. You have an opportunity to go and apologize. You have an opportunity to move past that indiscretion, you know. And it may be hard depending on what you did that was wrong, because some actions have consequences that must be carried out. You know, we know those consequences. You know, sexual acts, you get involved with someone, unprotected sex, child may be the byproduct of that action. Venereal disease may be a byproduct of that action. Old path may be a byproduct of that action. And a lot of people don't understand soul ties, what that really means. But when you when you begin to study the text about that, you'll understand that sexual acts merges you with a person. And so their spirit mixes with yours. And so some of the things that they're dealing with as a person, you may find in your conscience and in your spirit that you're dealing with. And you're trying to figure out why certain thoughts are, that's not part of your characters is on you. And it's because you have mingled with people of a different spirit. And you allow their spirit to touch your spirit. And spirit is transferable. And we know that because you can go somewhere and one person can come in the room and the whole room light up because their spirit brings so much joy, so much excitement. So when the people see that one particular person, everybody be like, oh, what name here now? Oh, it's about to be off. And it's transferable. So what are you transferring in this world? Are you transferring a sad spirit, a broken spirit, or are you transferring a spirit of hope, spirit of joy? This whole program, Motivational Monday, is geared to hopefully motivate you to be better you. And so I must be motivated. You know, I can't get on here and start talking defeat and sorrow and expect for you not to feel defeated and sorrowful. Nah. So we have to understand the spirit realm as well as the natural. And we know these things true because we use that tool with music. If you sad and you want to get happy, you turn on some music that's going to uplift your spirit. If you trying to be romantic with your significant other, you put on some love songs, you know. If you just want to concentrate and think, you may put on some smooth jazz or some classical music, you know. You're going to put on something that's going to help your mind go in the direction you need it to go. See, so these are spiritual. These are spiritual tools. We got about 13 minutes before the program is over tonight. I do want to say thank you all for joining us. I do have a question, and I don't know if one of you all would like to answer this. Have you ever had a moment where you just felt defeated, where condemnation kind of got the best of you, and it took you a moment to shake it off? You just really felt bad about something, and you really kind of it took somebody else to kind of help pull you out that mood, or something had to happen to change to pull you out that mood. Anybody got one of those experiences that they care to share? You don't have to share all the details, but well, I guess that leads me to share it then. Okay. Oftentimes, we do a lot of things as Christians, and sometimes God uses us in many different ways. One of the gifts that God has given me is the gift of prophecy. I remember years ago, been a little bit more than 20 now, we was doing, my brother and I, we used to do Bible study in a halfway house. The halfway houses are when the men and women, they're coming out of prison, and as they're being inserted back into society, they had to be, a lot of them was in what was called halfway houses, where they was in, where they had to have a job, but they had to return back to that particular home, like almost like would be for kids, group home, but this was for grown folks. And so we used to do Bible study in one of these. And oftentimes, I can remember meeting one of my brother's partners from Three Rivers, Texas. In one meeting, we was together, and I began to prophesy. No, actually, we went to his physical home, and I began to prophesy to him some things that God was saying. And I got very adamant about a time and a date of age in him, if I was sharing some stuff. And because the vision that God had gave me and the image that God gave me, I began to describe it. And at the end of it, you know, he said to me, "Man, I appreciate all that you said." He said, "But I don't remember at this age doing any of those things." And he said, "Man, but I appreciate you speaking into my life and everything." And because I was adamant about it when I was giving it, man, made me kind of feel kind of bad, because this is my brother's friend, and I was adamant about what I was doing. So during the Bible study of the next one, I had attended to start the Bible study off with an apology for, I said, maybe I was in zeal. Maybe it was me. You know, I was like, "Lord, but I know what I saw." And so I was thrown, and so it bothered me, and it kind of had me a little complex, because I really felt that's what God gave me to give him. And, man, and so I was struggling in myself to apologize, because I know that what God gave me to give him. And I said, "Well, I can't be caught in pride, Lord. If I did error, Father, I'm sorry that I misrepresented you. And I apologize, Lord. I was sure that's what you gave me to give him. And I'm sorry. So when we start the program off tomorrow, in the Bible study, I make sure that I apologize for, in front of everybody, you know. And so I had to resolve to go ahead and give that apology. But something made us run late. And so Danny had to start the program for us. So I couldn't start off with the apology that I had rehearsed to start off with. So and we already had the study, what we were going to study on. And so, but as we was ending, he stood up and he began to talk to the group about what had happened. And he told them, he said, I want to say I'm sorry. He said, I know that you're a true man of God, that you're most definitely a prophet. He said, man, because I know what I said to you. He said, man, but I was talking to my mother right afterwards, and she told me something that I did at the child, and it was the aid that you gave. And she said, when she reminded me, all of it came back to me, that what you said, the event that you described, actually happened. He said, so, man of God, I just want to say thank you, man. And he said, my mama, my mother affirmed that in me, that that's what was going on, that what took place. And he said, man, I totally forgot all about that. He said, man, if it wasn't for my mother that brought that to my remembrance, man, he said, but now I know that you're a true man of God, that, man, God really spoke to you and the things that you were saying. So I had a sense of I had a relief, because in my mind I had a resolve to, you know, go on, repent, you know, and it was one of the first times that at that particular time where my faith, it was the only time that I can recall any questioning about what I said through prophecy or any of those things. And so it was a blessing to me that I had resolved within my spirit to go ahead and surrender, to say, you know, to apologize, that if I was wrong, if I was out of order, and to receive what God had, you know, and to receive that. But verified to me that when you surrender to God and God is using you, he ain't going to carry you. He will not carry you where you don't belong. He's not going to put in you what don't belong there. And so, man, it was one of those experiences that man, for a moment, you know, that condemnation was kind of trying to come and was trying to make me feel like I was out of line and everything. But my resolve to it was, well, Lord, if I did mess up, I'm sorry. And so God orchestrated to make us late. So we normally we used to go early, but something happened that delayed our time, that we couldn't get in to the halfway house at the time to do the Bible study that day. But that in a position where I didn't have to step out there to finish, to do what I was going to do, to apologize, but God already had me covered. And that testimony came out openly in the group, verifying God's word. So, man, sometimes condemnation can kind of come to you, try to make you feel down. And, I mean, it bothered me, too. All that following day, you know, it was bothering me. It weighed heavy on my spirit. You know, it made me feel bad. I feel like I, you know, misrepresented God and all that stuff. And the only thing that gave me peace was when I resolved to just go ahead and just repent. You know, you done done it now, so just repent. And so when you understand that process and that step of really surrendering to God, God is not bringing condemnation to us. He brings correction. He brings elevation. And so I'm so thankful that I did humble myself to go ahead and repent. But I'm thankful to God that he proved what was right, you know, and so on. So I'm thankful to it. So that was one of my experience dealing with condemnation. Amen. Well, we're at the end of our time now. Brother Six, if you'd like to give any information for those that are listening, they on how they can add to the, how they can contribute to the Six Fires Radio Network. Oh, did I lose him? Yep, I did. Well, to all our listeners, we want to say thank you for joining in here with us on today. Thank you for being a part of the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. You can always contribute to the radio programming to help us keep programming just like this and many more on by donating. You can donate through Cash App or through PayPal. If you are a Cash App user, it is for our Cash App user, it is $SIXEYES, the digit number 2 and the digit number 4. Our PayPal user, you can simply type in the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's SIXEYES, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. And whatever your contribution is, be it small or great, we want to say thank you for your contribution to the program. We thank you. We pray that God be with you and keep you safe in all that you do. May God give you strength to keep on being better and better every day. We look forward to seeing you again the next time. Tomorrow is Word with Team with Tim Gruvel. And so we look forward to seeing you then. God bless you and God keep you.
Good night,
everyone. What I found to one, I found to all. Watch as well as pray. In Jesus' name, please be a good neighbor. God bless you.